Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Chasing Mr. Right by Amy Nicole Walker. Narrated by Connor Brown. Chapter 1. Chase. I met Devin Bellows while tending bar at Bottoms Up. He was a mix of sexy and sweet, with a healthy dose of flirty. My lonely heart revved up every time he came in. It took him months to talk me into going out with him because I had a nagging suspicion he was already involved in a relationship. It wasn't anything obvious, like a tan line on his ring finger. It was more subtle. Take the randomness of his visits to the bar, for example. It was like they coincided with his partner being out of town. I had even shared my observations with Devin. He was adamant he wasn't in a relationship, and his visits coincided with his work travel, not a phantom lover's. And, though I wasn't convinced, I agreed to go on a date with him because I was lonely and horny. A recipe for trouble, if ever there was one. A few nights later, I looked across the table at Devin Bellows, my eyes taking in every lovely feature of his face. He truly was a gorgeous man. I didn't normally go for the preppy type, but there was something about Devin that got to me. Beneath the suit and polish was a boyish charm, and maybe something a little wicked. Devin had chosen a swanky new restaurant called Olivia's for our first date. I was equally impressed he was able to get a reservation, and mortified I was underdressed compared to the rest of the patrons. Devin had dismissed my concerns with a lazy wave of his hand. The waitstaff didn't seem bothered by my dark denim jeans and button-down shirt either, so I forced myself to relax and look at the menu. It was one of those places that didn't list the prices beside the food or drinks. Yikes. "Hey," Devin said softly. I jerked my head up and met his gaze. Pale green eyes shimmered in the candlelight, and his smile was sweet and reassuring. Maybe I'd been wrong about him. "I work hard to afford the best things in life," Devin said, reaching across the table to take my hand. He swept his thumb over my flesh in tantalizing circles. "I would like to share that with you. Will you let me?" I took a deep breath to settle my nerves, then nodded. Devin's smile brightened even more. "Thank." His phone rang, cutting him off before he could finish, the sound shrilly disrupting the lovely ambiance. He grimaced and quickly fished it from his pocket to silence it. "I thought I turned the volume off, I'm sorry," he said to me, and those around us. Some of the diners nodded politely, and others glared at the interruption. He rose from his chair with his phone in hand. "I'm so sorry, Chase. I need to take this call, but you'll have my full attention afterward. I promise." What else could I do but nod? One phone call turned into two and then three. By the time the waiter cleared my dinner plate, Devin had spent the majority of our date outside talking on the phone. I hated the pitying glances I received from the servers and other diners. What happened to the guy who'd pursued me relentlessly for over 4 months and had never wanted to accept no for an answer? I'd finally relented and agreed to go out with him, and for what? To be ignored? When Devin returned after the third interruption, I removed my linen napkin from my lap and set it on the table beside my plate. I took one last sip of the delicious wine he'd chosen before I scooted my chair back and rose to my feet. That got his attention. I reached into my pants pocket and pulled out my wallet. I didn't have a lot of cash, but I wasn't short on dignity. "What are you doing?" he asked. "Going home." "No," he said, reaching across the table to grab my hand. "I'm so sorry about all the interruptions, Chase. I've been terribly neglectful. Please stay." Devin looked sincere and contrite, but my gut told me to walk out the door and not look back. "Tell me one good reason why I should stay." "It's my birthday." "Oh," I said, not expecting his answer. "I didn't know, or I would have bought you a gift." "You are my gift." Devin's voice was low and seductive, and his twinkling, devilish eyes did very funny things to my stomach. All those interruptions were text messages and Facebook notifications from friends and family wishing me a happy birthday. Devin released my hand to turn off his phone. I'm all yours now. No more interruptions. Please stay and have some dessert and coffee. Those eyes. His voice. I caved. And things got better. We discussed our favorite movies, music, and books. We had a lot in common, and I started to have a really good time. His green eyes darkened, and his voice lowered as the night wore on. He started touching my hand more often as we spoke and rubbed his leg against mine beneath the table. His seductive powers worked to great effect. His simple gestures and undivided attention had me adjusting my dick beneath the table. Chase?
Hmm?
I want to take you home now. I want to unwrap the best birthday gift I've ever received. At that point in my life, I was convinced I was never going to be truly loved for myself. Guys can never see past my looks to the person beneath. They didn't want to keep me for the long haul. Nope, they just wanted to fuck me. Seriously, I attracted every douche nozzle within 100-mile radius. I could find perfect mates for my friends, but struck out each time I thought I had found the one for myself. I was in the process of helping my best friend, Ava Mitchell, finalize her June wedding to a man I'd introduced her to the previous fall. I'd taken one look at Brandon Willoughby and known he was the one for my best girl. As happy as I was for her, I'd been feeling a little down in the dumps and vulnerable. Devin's soft gaze whispered, "Maybe I'm the one." "Let's get out of here," I told him. Devin flagged down our waiter, and we were out the door in a flash. He pulled my body close while we waited for the valet to bring his car around. The heat rolling off his body helped to keep me warm on the cool March evening. "I've wanted you for so long, Chase. I hope I don't embarrass myself once I'm finally inside you." A shiver rippled through his body, turning me on even more. He sank his teeth into my tender earlobes and slid both hands down to cup my ass cheeks. "God, the things I'm going to do to you." Just then, the valet pulled around, saving me from embarrassing myself. Devin placed his hand at the small of my back and guided me to the car. He opened the door for me like a true gentleman, scoring additional points in my book. "You have lovely manners," I said, complimenting him as he climbed behind the wheel. "Unless I'm in the bedroom, then I leave my chivalry at the fucking door." His vulgar talk fueled my raging lust. It had been so long since I'd been manhandled and fucked. "You've had me hooked since the moment I looked into your chocolate brown eyes. They pulled me in and wouldn't let me go. I haven't been able to get you out of my mind." Once we pulled into traffic, Devin amped up his sensual assault. He placed his hand between my thighs and rubbed my cock until I was fully erect. The moans and whimpers coming out of his throat had my hips thrusting upward to meet his hand. "How much farther?" I asked. "Not much," he replied, as he pulled up to a red light. As soon as the car stopped, he leaned over the console and smashed his lips against mine. The kiss should have been too brutal for our first time, but it was just what I wanted. No, needed. Devin's tongue slipped between my lips and dueled fiercely with mine until a car honked behind us, making us jump apart. "You make me forget myself," he teased, as he switched his foot from the brake to the gas. Luckily, there were several other red lights before we got to his townhouse in the historic part of Foggy Bottom. He became more and more aggressive with each stop, testing my restraint. "We're here," Devin said. He was so eager to get me inside, he forgot to put the car in park before getting out. He laughed as he jumped back inside his luxury sedan, put it in park, and killed the engine. "Look what you do to me." Devin leaned forward for another kiss, sliding his hands down my torso to untuck my dress shirt. "I can't wait to get into this hot body." Devin kissed me long and hard, our teeth bumping as we panted into each other's mouths. He abruptly ended our kiss. "Let's go inside." "Yes," I hissed. "Stay put." I waited in my seat and watched as he walked around the front of the vehicle. The street lamps were bouncing light off his hair, almost giving him a halo effect. Devin turned and looked at me just then, and there was nothing angelic about the look in his eyes or the smile stretching across his face. I shivered hard as I waited for him to open my door. Devin placed his hand on the small of my back, guiding me up the paved walk to the front porch. His hand shifted to cup my ass as I climbed the last few steps, then we were standing at his door. "I'm going to fuck you so hard, Chase," he said hungrily, while fitting his key inside the lock. "You'll be feeling me for days, baby." Devin opened the front door and pushed me inside. His home was pitch black, no lights on anywhere. "But first, I'm going to suck your dick." Devin closed the front door and shoved me back against it. "I've been wondering what you taste like for months." "Devin," I groaned his name as he nipped and sucked the tender flesh beneath my ear. I was complete putty in his hands. He slid to his knees in front of me and rubbed his nose along my erection through the denim. My hips jutted out automatically, causing him to laugh wickedly. "Somebody wants me to suck him off just as badly as I want to wrap my lips around his cock." Devin's hands began to unbuckle my belt and made quick work of my button and zipper. I threw my head back against the door, closing my eyes in ecstasy as he placed his lips around the head of my engorged cock. I could feel his hot breath and moist tongue through my cotton briefs. I tangled my hands in his hair and began to thrust against his mouth, seeking more pressure on the magic spot just below the crown of my dick. I'm pretty sure I chanted "more" over and over. Even though my eyes were still squeezed shut, I could tell a light had been turned on. It didn't stop me from dry-humping Devin's mouth, though. For all I knew, his house lights were set on an automatic timer. Someone cleared their throat, and the unexpected sound penetrated my lust-fogged brain. My eyes flew open. It took a few seconds for reality to really hit me, and even longer for my hips to quit thrusting against Devin's face. I locked eyes with the man of my dreams. His eyes were the bluest I'd ever seen and framed by nerdy black glasses. Angels must have sculpted the guy's face, for no mere mortal could have created a creature so beautiful. His wide forehead, high cheekbones, and squared jaw made him look like a superhero. Add in the thick black hair, and he was a real-life Clark Kent. His luscious full lips looked like they were made for kissing, and my stomach fluttered thinking about them pressed to mine. But then those sexy lips flattened into a straight line, and his pale eyes narrowed to mere slits when they traveled down my body and saw the man at my feet. Then I noticed other things, such as the big "Happy Birthday" banner hung from the ceiling, and the dozens of people standing behind Clark, wearing a variety of horrified expressions. "Holy fuck! I can taste your arousal through your briefs, baby," Devin said. "You want me so bad." He was lost in lust and had no idea we had an audience. Clark's pale blue eyes met mine once more, and the fury I witnessed in their depths shamed me. I put my hands squarely on Devin's shoulders and shoved him hard. He sprawled on the floor in front of me, shocked and confused. "What the fuck, man?" he asked. "Devin?" Clark's voice was deep and beautiful. Devin leapt to his feet and spun around, his body jerked in shock at the sight before him. "Baby. Oh, God, I can explain." I didn't stick around to hear his excuses. I pushed away from the door, opened it, and left. Chapter 2. Grayson. I don't know what shocked me more. Was it finally having the confirmation that my stagnant relationship with Devin had reached a toxic level? Perhaps it was the jealousy surging through my body, because I wasn't the one on my knees about to suck off the beautiful blonde with the sultry brown eyes. The raw honesty of the last thought knocked me off kilter. "Dude, either go after the blonde or deal with Devin, but don't just stand there." I could always count on my best friend Miller Brexler to slap me back to reality. The party guests started leaving in droves to avoid the awkward confrontation they all thought would be coming. Some cast pitying looks my direction. Wouldn't they be shocked to know I felt like a huge burden had been lifted from my shoulders? Others looked relieved to know the end of an era was near. Miller, can Gray and I have some privacy? Devin asked. Fuck you, Miller said to him, before placing a hand on my shoulder. I'll head upstairs to the guest bedroom and watch some TV while you toss this fucker out on his ass. Then we'll go out and celebrate your liberation from the mundane life you've been living for 5 years. He gave my shoulder a squeeze before heading upstairs, leaving me alone with Devin. Gray. Devin's soft, cajoling voice sliced through the lingering fog. I saw him clearly for the first time in too long. It was like pulling back tall grass to reveal a hiding serpent. How many others were there? My voice was neither soft nor cajoling. None. This was the first time I picked someone up. He's not important to me, Gray. He's just some bartender who kept hitting on me. I've been so lonely with you traveling so much lately, and I... Devin stepped forward, beseeching me to forgive him with his eyes. I made a mistake, Gray. I'm sorry. How many times had I fallen for Devin's shit? He was totally playing me, which meant he was also lying through his fucking teeth. I want the truth this time, Devin. It's the least you can do after embarrassing us both in front of our family and friends. I am telling the truth. Devin. My voice took on the tone that meant I wasn't fucking around. He heaved a defeated sigh. The jig was up, and the asshole knew it. 4 times, not including tonight. He said as casually as if he were discussing a sale on shoes. I've had sex with 4 other men in the last year while you were away on the business trips that meant more to you than I ever have. Now we're getting somewhere, I told him. My voice was calm and measured when I wanted to scream and rage at him. His behavior disgusted me, and I had to force myself to maintain eye contact. I would not show him how his words had cut me to the quick. Do you know how many times I've been propositioned by sexy men during our relationship? I paused to let Devin respond, but he remained silent. More than I can count, but I never took them up on their offers. I have never been unfaithful to you. No, Devin said. You were just emotionally distant and stopped giving a fuck about anything I wanted or needed out of life. You made me beg and grovel for scraps of your attention and affection, Gray. My head snapped back as if he'd slapped me. So this is my fault? When was the last time you initiated sex between us? I had to think hard about that. When was the last time we'd even had sex? Had it been months? I'd been making do with my hand for so long that it became the norm. I could rub one out in the shower and relieve the pressure without having to whine, dine, and cajole someone into having sex with me. Devin had started using intimacy as a weapon, and I wasn't interested in playing games. See, Devin said. It's been so damn long you can't even remember. I never should have cheated on you, Gray, but the truth is, you left me a long time ago. We've been 2 ships passing in the night for at least 3 years. Nothing he said rattled me, because I'd had the same thoughts too many times to count. I'd just been too lazy to make the change. It took time and energy I didn't have to meet someone new and date. It had been so much easier to accept the way things were between us. How pathetic was that? It wasn't living at all, and it wasn't fair to either of us. It took staring into the bottomless brown eyes of Devin's hookup to drive the message home. Preston, my brother and business partner, had been telling me I needed to get a life for the past 2 years. He was right, but I hadn't wanted to listen. But there was nothing holding me back anymore. Devin, I want you to pack your clothes and leave my house tonight. We can make arrangements later this week or next weekend for you to get the rest of your things. Where am I supposed to go? That's not my problem, I said. It should have occurred to you to have a backup plan the minute you started fucking other men. Nothing you can say or do will change my mind. Just pack and go. Devin glared at me, but didn't say anything more before he stomped up the steps to the room we used to share. Miller came down a few minutes later, and we watched college basketball while Devin removed himself from my life. It was all so calm and surreal. Shouldn't I have been more upset? I had no idea what was happening on the television or even upstairs in my own home, for that matter. My mind kept wandering back to the blonde-haired hottie with the big brown eyes. Did you find out Blondie's name? Miller asked, breaking into my thoughts. It didn't surprise me one bit that my best friend knew what I was thinking. He's a bartender, that's all I know. Would it be rude of me to ask Devin which bar? My question made Miller throw his head back and laugh. The sound was too infectious to ignore, and I found myself joining in, which was how Devin found us when he came downstairs. He dropped his suitcase by the front door and walked over to where I sat. Devin's face was pinched with anger as he pulled his house keys off the ring and handed them to me. I bet you're really happy about this, aren't you, Miller? He never liked me anyway. You're right on both counts. I've never liked you, and I've never thought you were good enough for Grayson. Miller released a resigned sigh, as if he hadn't been waiting to say that since the moment I'd started dating Devin. You've shown your true colors, and now Gray can find someone who deserves him. Someone like you? Devin asked. I've never been in love with Grayson, Miller replied calmly. I've always wanted the absolute best for him, and that's definitely not me. I don't do hearts, flowers, and happily ever afters. You think he does? Devin asked incredulously. Miller turned his head and studied me closely before replying. Yes, I believe he'd do anything for the right guy. I definitely think he's capable of big romantic gestures. Devin grumbled something beneath his breath as he walked away. I'll be in touch later to pick up the rest of my stuff. He slammed the front door behind him as he left. Ready? Miller asked and patted my leg. I'll drive, and you can have all the fun your body can handle. An hour later, I realized I'd made a huge mistake. Men, kids really, were doing something on the dance floor. I guess they called it dancing, but it looked more like dry humping. It made me feel old and out of touch. Let's get out of here and get something good to eat, I said. I checked my phone on our way back to Miller's car and saw several missed calls from Preston. Damn, I forgot my brother had probably shown up for the party to find the house dark and no one home. I knew he'd be late due to a prior engagement. I called him back and he answered on the first ring. Did I get the wrong night for the douchebag's surprise birthday party? My big brother wasn't a fan of Devin either. Come to think of it, no one in my inner circle liked him. They'd simply tolerated him for my sake. It had been a big, flashing warning sign I'd chosen to ignore. No, you had the correct night. Then where the hell is everyone? Preston grumbled. I could have gone straight home to cuddle on the couch with my pregnant wife. You won't believe me, I snorted. The inarticulate sound triggered a chuckle, which turned into raucous laughter. Nothing about the evening was funny, yet there I was, wiping my eyes like I had just heard the most hilarious joke ever told. Maybe I was the joke. The thought sobered me up pretty quickly. Have you been drinking? A little, I answered, then proceeded to recap the evening for Preston. Are you fucking kidding me? Press asked, when I got to the part where I flipped the lights on and discovered Devin had brought home a friend. Uh-huh, I replied. Blondie shoved Devin on his ass when he realized what was going on. I think he was as surprised as I was. Preston snorted. You don't think he knew Devin had a boyfriend? I mulled it over for a few seconds. No. He couldn't fake the horror he felt when he saw me standing there beneath the happy birthday banner. Was he hot? Preston asked. One of my favorite things about my straight brother was his lack of an issue with me being gay. He never got squeamish when gay sex was brought up, and he teased me with sex jokes as much as any brother would. He just changed them up to match my orientation. Smoking, I replied. You should have gotten his name and phone number. It's obvious Devin wasn't going to be getting to know him better after his stunt, so why not you? I ignored his ridiculous question and changed the subject. We're going to Stanley's to get a bite to eat. You guys want to meet us there? I bet Carly would like a hot fudge sundae. Carly would love a hot fudge sundae, my sister-in-law said. My first Saturday night out as a single man in 5 years, and I spent it with three of my favorite people in the world. We laughed over burgers, fries, and hot fudge sundaes. It was the best time I'd had in ages, and I vowed to do it more often. Chapter 3. Chase. I tackled Sunday morning with bleary eyes and a heavy heart. Devon had nearly turned me into the other man, and my shame felt like a boulder strapped to my back. I'd have been relieved when Ava, my best friend and roommate, had slept over at her fiancé's house, but the sound of a key turning in a lock let me know my reprieve had ended. "Good morning," she said in a cheerful sing-song voice. "I came home early so you could tell me all about your hot date before you head to the bakery." Forcing a smile, I turned from the coffee pot to face her. "Good morning." Ava took one look at me and grimaced.
"That bad, huh?"
I took a deep breath and said, "I've never been so humiliated in my life." She crossed the room and wrapped her arms around my waist. I folded her into my embrace and rested my chin on top of her head.
"Tell me,"
she mumbled against my sternum. And I did, every sordid detail. She jerked her head up in shock when I got to the surprise part and jacked my jaw. She apologized repeatedly while I tried to blink away the tears burning my eyes.
"Damn, girl. Sweetie, I'm so sorry. I just couldn't believe the douche lied to you repeatedly and put you in such a horrible position."
"You should have seen the hurt look in Clark's eyes," I said.
"It's not your fault. You didn't know. You can't blame yourself. Also, who's Clark?"
"Sorry. It's the name I gave to Devin's boyfriend. He's the most beautiful man I've ever seen. He looks like a real-life Clark Kent with nerdy black glasses and blue eyes. His hair was longer and shaggier, though.
God, I hate that I'm the one who put the hurt in his beautiful eyes."
"But you didn't, honey. Devin did." "You're right, Ava. I'll get past this. You know I will. My Mr. Wright is waiting for me somewhere out there, and I'll find him someday."
"That's the ticket, love." She gave me an extra squeeze. "Exciting things are about to happen for you. I can feel it."
I took a deep breath. "I'm looking forward to starting my new job." It was only an entry-level position as a personal assistant to one of the partners at Wright Creations, an up-and-coming ad agency. I'd recently graduated from Georgetown with my MBA, and I was desperate to get my foot in the door somewhere. Luckily, Ellie Cruz, the older sister of my childhood friend Xavier, was the human resources manager for Wright Creations. She had called me the minute the position had become available. I submitted my resume and interviewed with one of the partners the very next day. Preston Wright thought I was overqualified for the position, and I was, but I needed to start somewhere. While I'd interviewed with Preston, I would actually be assisting his brother and business partner. Preston explained his brother was in Chicago looking to land a major account, and he'd been left to interview the candidates. I had liked Preston Wright immediately. He was intelligent, funny, and seemed pretty easygoing. I was almost disappointed I wasn't interviewing to be his personal assistant, but since his brother had left him in charge of picking a candidate, maybe their personalities were similar. Ellie had called me yesterday with the news that I had been hired and should report to Wright Creations at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. She told me two additional things for my first day. "Don't be late, and bring hazelnut coffee for my new boss to make a good impression." I could easily do both. I was grateful for the opportunity and was hoping I wouldn't have to keep working my two other jobs for very long. In addition to tending bar at Bottoms Up, I worked at a small bakery called Adam and Steve's on weekend mornings. I'd be losing Ava's monthly rental income once she got married in June, and I either needed to have a roommate lined up or stash enough cash to pay the staggering monthly rent on my own until I could find someone to take Ava's room.
"This thing with Devin is nothing more than one of life's little speed bumps," Ava said.
Then she let out a big yawn and stretched.
"You didn't have to rush home at the ass crack of dawn on my account. You could have stayed and cuddled with Brandon." "Something told me I was needed elsewhere," she said before kissing my cheek.
I rolled my eyes.
"Please. You wanted to hear about my date, and you didn't want to wait until I got home later this evening." "Guilty as charged," Ava said on the way to her bedroom. "I'm going to crash for a bit longer before Brandon picks me up for his nephew's birthday party. I love his family, but there are a lot of them, and they're really loud. I have to mentally prepare. Kiss Graham for me."
"Will do." Once outside, I unlocked my bike and rode to the bakery. The nippy air helped wake me up more than the shower I'd taken had,
and I vowed to have a good day no matter what. Atif.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?